Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing reading from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 16, how Parikshit received the age of Kali, and today's is a double verse, 32-33. We can use the Brahma Samhita meter. We'll do the first verse responsively, then I'll chant the second verse by myself, and then we'll do the synonyms translation, etc. Brahmadayo Bahu Titam Yad Apanga Moksha Kamas Tapaha Samacharan Bhagavat Prapannaha Sa Shri Swa Vasam Aravinda Vanam Vihaya Yat Pada Sopagam Alam Bhajate Nurakta Brahmadayo Bahutitang Yadapanga Moksha Kamastatak Samacharan Bhagavat Prapanna Sa Shri Sava Samaravinda Vanang Vihaya Yat Pada Soba Gamalang Bhajate Narakta Brahmadayo Bahututang Yadapanga Moksha Kamastapak Samacharan Bhagavat Prapanna Sa Shri Sava Samaravinda Vanang Vihaya Yat Pada Soba Gamalang Bhajate Narakta Brahmadayo Bahutitang Yadapanga Moksha Kamastapak Samacharan Bhagavat Prapanna Sa Shri Sava Samaravinda Vanang Vihaya Yat Pada Soba Gamalang Bhajate Narakta. Please chant. Vaishnavis, Okay, I'll recite 33 by myself. Tasyaham abja kulishan kushaketu ketai Srimat padaya bhagavatak samalankritangi Trin atyarocha upalabhya tato vibhutim Lokan samavisarijad utsmayatim tarante. So, synonyms. Brahma adayaha. Demigods such as Brahma. Bahutitam. For many days. Yat. Of Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. Apanga moksha. Glance of grace. Kamaha. Being desirous of. Tapaha. Penances. Samacharan. Executing. Bhagavat. Unto the personality of Godhead. Prapannaha. Surrendered. Sa. She. The goddess of fortune. Shihi. Lakshmiji. Swabhasam. Her own abode. Aravindavanam. The forest of lotus flowers. Vihaya. Leaving aside. Yat. Whose pada, feet, sobhagam, all blissful, alam, without hesitation, bhajate, worships, anurakta, being attached, tasya, his, aham, myself, abja, lotus flower, kulisha, thunderbolt, ankusha, rod for driving elephants. K2. Flag. Ketai. Impressions. Srimat. The owner of all opulence. Padai. By the soles of the feet. Bhagavataha. Of the personality of Godhead. Samalankrita Angi. One whose body is so decorated. Trin, three, ati, superseding, oroche, beautifully decorated, upalabhya, having obtained, tataha, thereafter, vibhutim, specific powers, lokan, planetary systems, saha, he, mam, me, vyasrijat, gave up, utsmayatim, while feeling proud, tat ante, at the end. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation for these two verses. Lakshmiji, the goddess of fortune, whose glance of grace was sought by demigods like Brahma, and for whom they surrendered many a day unto the personality of Godhead, gave up her own abode in the forest of lotus flowers, and engaged herself in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. I was endowed with specific powers to supersede the fortune of all the three planetary systems by being decorated with the impressions of the flag, thunderbolt, elephant driving rod, and lotus flower, which are signs of the lotus feet of the Lord. But at the end, when I felt I was so fortunate, the Lord left me. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The beauty and opulence of the world can be enhanced by the grace of the Lord, and not by any man-made planning. When the Lord Sri Krishna was present on this earth, the impressions of the special signs of his lotus feet were stamped on the dust, and as a result of this specific grace, the whole earth was made as perfect as possible. In other words, the rivers, the seas, the forests, the hills, and the mines, which are the supplying agents for the necessities of men and animals, were fully discharging their respective duties. Therefore, the riches of the world surpassed all the riches of all other planets in the three planetary systems of the universe. One should, therefore, ask that the grace of the Lord always be present on earth so that we may be favored with His causeless mercy and be happy, having all necessities of life. One may ask, how we can detain the Supreme Lord on this earth after His mission is fulfilled and He has left this earth for His own abode? The answer is that there is no need to detain the Lord. The Lord being omnipresent, can be present with us if we want Him at all. Very important sentence. The Lord, being omnipresent, can be present with us if we want Him at all. By His omnipresence, He can always be with us if we are attached to His devotional service by hearing, chanting, remembering, and so on. There is nothing in the world with which the Lord is disconnected. The only thing we must learn is to excavate the source of connection and thus be linked with Him by offenseless service. We can be connected with Him by the transcendental sound representation of the Lord. The holy name of the Lord and the Lord Himself are identical, and one who chants the holy name of the Lord in an offenseless manner can at once realize that the Lord is present before him. Even by the vibration of radio sound, we can partially realize sound relativity. And by resounding the sound of transcendence, we can verily feel the presence of the Lord. In this age, when everything is polluted by the contamination of Kali, it is instructed in the scriptures and preached by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, we can at once be free from contamination and gradually rise to the status of transcendence and go back to Godhead. The offenseless chanter of the holy name of the Lord is as auspicious as the Lord Himself, and the movement of pure devotees of the Lord all over the world can at once change the troublesome face of the world. Only by the propagation of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord can we be immune from all effects of the age of Kali. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacharishnarani Om Agyana Timurandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unvilicham Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnang Shapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Nadati Swapadanti Kam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagadatam Sahagana Raganatan Bhutam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Bhutangsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namochate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindabhaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Ancha Kopaturubhya Shah Kripa Sandubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavane Pyo Vaisive Pyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So every bona fide religion has this concept that not even a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme God. But still, even with that understanding, the vast majority of people on this planet are Krishna unconscious, God unconscious. They're not God conscious. So Prabhupada said, if we simply remember that everything is Krishna's energy and there's no difference between the energy and the energetic source, then that's how one remains Krishna conscious at every moment. We should first of all understand that we are Krishna's energy, because everything starts at home. Our consciousness is first self-consciousness. If I'm not aware of myself, how can I really be aware of anyone else? If I don't understand myself, how can I understand anybody else? So if we are moment to moment conscious of the fact that we are Krishna's energy, then automatically we understand that everybody else is also Krishna's energy. And everything that we see, so-called inanimate or animate, is Krishna. This is from Isha Upanishad, we learn this. Everything animate and inanimate is controlled and owned by the Lord. So very easy, should be easy to remember Krishna at every moment, because we're always dealing either with inanimate or animate objects. Personal or not personal. But in both cases, they are controlled and owned by the Lord. So, when the Lord is present, everything acts perfectly. The seas, the oceans, the mines, everything out of duty performs properly. So they present everything that's required for the necessity. It's amazing when you think of it. This tiny little planet, which is like a speck of cosmic dust floating through the universe, is self-contained. Everything that we need is here. And the only reason that we feel any scarcity is twofold, mismanagement and sinful activity. Due to sinful activity, the reaction manifests in the form of scarcity, famine, drought, war, pestilence, etc. These are reactions to sinful activities. In other words, if people weren't so, as we would say colloquially, freakishly sinful, then this planet would be much, much a nicer place to live on. But because people are sinful, then the reaction comes in the form of famine, drought, war, pestilence, earthquakes, etc., etc. Just to shake us up, literally, to remind us that, hey, you don't have a free ride here. It's not that you can do anything that you want. Even just in the matter of earthquakes, you think, yes, it's controlled by the demigods, but our activities also impact that, just like in the state of Oklahoma. Hundreds of years ago, there were practically no such things as earthquakes in Oklahoma. They never had any. But over the past few decades, they've been drilling oil out of there like anything, and they've been experiencing repeatedly earthquakes in Oklahoma, directly related to this drilling activity. You drill into the earth and extract oil, and you can't expect there's going to be no reaction. So the reaction in that particular case is that state is all of a sudden experiencing a lot of earthquakes. Most of them minor, but everybody's worried it's building up to something big in a place where previously practically they never heard of anything such as an earthquake. So we should know individually and collectively that our activity, the things that we do, have an impact, positive or negative, that we have to enjoy or suffer in the future. I several times recited this verse that I discovered in the 10th canto. Esha praliyate jantu esha eka praliyate. Eko nubungte sukritam eka esha chaduskritam. That every one of us, every living entity, it says, is born alone and dies alone. And alone we have to suffer or enjoy the reactions to our good or bad, sinful activities. So it's applies both individually and collectively. We're born alone. Even if you're born as twins, triplets, whatever, you still come out alone. Everybody's experience is different. And we die alone. Even if you die in a mass calamity, like an airplane going down with 400 people, it's not that everybody dies the same way. Everybody's death is individual. I was reading recently that they discovered, when they finally found the cabin from that Challenger spaceship that exploded, that they actually survived the explosion. They survived. And the thing fell all the way down in the ocean, but just on impact is when they died. Because, you know, you come from that high up and you hit the ocean, it's like hitting concrete. So that's when it disintegrated and they died. So we were watching thinking, oh, they're gone. As soon as we saw the explosion in the sky, most of you, I'm sure, saw that Challenger explosion, or at least you've seen video of it. So as soon as you see the tanks explode, you think, oh, these poor astronauts are gone. No, they survived. And then they came down from way up in the sky and smashed into the ocean, and then they died. But that doesn't mean they died at the same way at the same time. Who knows? Somebody, one of them may have survived all the way to the bottom of the ocean. So our birth is individual, our death is individual, and the karma that we accrue is individual. Every one of us has a different stock of karma based on our activities. So the entire Krishna conscious thrust is to get us to think properly so we will desire properly and therefore act properly and not produce any more karma. As devotees, we want to be on the nice karmic track where we're not developing any karma, good or bad, to enjoy or suffer in the future. As Prabhupada says in the purport, we want to go back to Godhead. And Prabhupada has used that phrase so many times. It's amazing to me that some devotees think that we didn't come from the spiritual, we didn't come from the spiritual planets. We came from some Tathasta state or some Brahman state. Prabhupada says repeatedly, going back to home, back to Godhead. Back to home, back to Godhead. We should accept what Prabhupada says. Why try to be over-intelligent? I was approached sometime in the past to be part of the Shastric Council, where they discuss different Shastric things and come to conclusions. But the person who approached me, when he discovered, because he sat in one of my classes and he discovered that I don't accept that the living entities came from Brahman, that they actually came from a spiritual planet, he never contacted me again after that, because he thinks that way. Sannyasi in ISKCON, I'm not going to name any names, but he thinks that the living entity came from Brahman, didn't come from, but Prabhupada said, no, you were with Krishna, practice Krishna consciousness, go back to Krishna, go back to the spiritual world, back to home, back to Godhead. Why emphasize that if it's not true? People rationalize, oh, why Prabhupada said that, he didn't really mean, we couldn't understand or we wouldn't accept that we were actually originally fallen. And no, but Prabhupada says, you came from Krishna, go back to Krishna. So here Mother Earth is lamenting the fact that Krishna had been present, left his footprints, and therefore, and that's why I had this image put on the screen. And we're meant to meditate on these symbols that are on the soles of Krishna's feet. In today's purport, it's mentioned Ankusha, the elephant goad. Those of you who are Brahmanas know the Ankusha Mudra. You use it when turning plain water into sanctified water. Ganga Jal. Ganga Chajamuna Chaiva Godavari Sarasani Namade Kaveri Sindhu Jalakshmi Sanirinkuru. You're supposed to have your thread wrapped around your thumb and use the Ankusha Mudra to touch the water. But, so the elephant goad, it's also mentioned the flag in today's purport. Now, as I've said in the previously, every one of these symbols, because Krishna's lotus feet are eternal. Anybody want to dispute that? Krishna's lotus feet are eternal, which means that all of the symbols on his lotus feet are eternal. So these are not things that evolve. You see a conch. A conch is not something that evolved at some point in the past. You know, they said, like the, you know, so-called scientists, they say, 200, maybe 250 million years ago, the Nautilus evolved, which is something like a conch. It's all speculation. It's not factual. If you take a test and you write down 300 million years ago, they'll fail you. The book says 200 to 250 million years ago. That's a big gap, 50 million years gap. So if I write 300 million years, what's the difference? But no, they'll fail you. The book says 200 to 250 million years. How dare you say 300 million years? It's all speculation. It's all speculation. They don't know what they're saying. They simply speculate. And if you don't accept their speculation, then you fail. But we say no. The conch, the flag, elephant goad, these are all eternal manifestations. They're not something that evolved over time. It's not that somebody, some so-called smart person, one day woke up and designed a flag. A flag has always existed. It's an eternal symbol. It's on Krishna's eternal lotus feet. The fish is not something that evolved so many so-called millions of years ago. They'll tell you again, about 300 million years ago, the fish evolved, and then 100 million years after that, the first fish came onto land and gradually transformed into a land animal. Not true. It's not true. The fish is an eternal form. It's one of the symbols on Krishna's lotus feet. So the form of a fish is an eternal form. It's not something that evolved so many hundreds of millions of years ago. It's an eternal existing entity. They're fish in the spiritual world. And they've been there eternally. And every one of those forms, the bow, again, they'll tell you, somebody designed the bow so they could go out and kill animals. No, the bow is an eternal entity, always existing. What to speak of the calf's footprint? There are calves in the spiritual world eternally, right? Chintamani pakara sadmashu kopaviksha lakshavrita surabhi abhipalayantam. Prabhupada made a joke once. He said, surabhi, the cows, abhipalayantam means herding or controlling. So he said, Krishna is not dog abhipalayanta. That's you guys. You like to herd dogs. But Krishna is herding cows eternally. So the calf's footprint, that's also eternal. Umbrella. We see there's an umbrella there. It's not something that somebody designed in China, you know, 2,000 years ago. That's what they think. Umbrellas were, you know, designed by the Chinese a couple of thousand years ago. No, it's an eternal existing form. So we should let this think into our consciousness. We're all contaminated by the pseudoscience that we learn in school. And it's very hard to get rid of it. Because we're convinced. Why? Because they've given us television. You see? The scientists have given us television. If they can give us something so wonderful, how could they be wrong about origins and creation and all that stuff? No, they're wrong. We have to accept that. If we don't, then we remain contaminated and it's very difficult to surrender to Krishna. If we don't understand that Krishna is the origin of everything, including umbrellas and flags and fish, if we don't accept that deeply, then we remain contaminated. We don't want to go back to the spiritual world because we think just a little bit of adjustment and everything will be all right here. Just a little adjustment. No. No. This material world is sometimes manifest, sometimes not manifest. So if you want to stay here, that means you're going to be in an unmanifest state, actually absorbed into the Mahavishnu. And I've said this also several times. I've wondered about this as immediately when I joined, that if the living entities at the end of the life of the universe, end of Lord Brahma's life, the entire thing gets withdrawn into the body of the Mahavishnu, including all those souls who are not qualified to go back to Godhead. So how is it that we can be in contact with the body of Mahavishnu and not become purified? That was my question. Immediately it dawned on me. If Mahavishnu is the Supreme Person, Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we get withdrawn into His body, how can we not become purified? How can we remain contaminated? That is Krishna's mercy. He doesn't want to force us to come back to the spiritual world. So we remain dormant in the body of Mahavishnu for eons, billions and trillions of years. And then again, when creation takes place, we come out and it's just like you went to sleep and you wake up. Just like you go to sleep at night, you're thinking that you're something that you're not. But when the alarm goes off, you remember, oh, I'm a Purvadas and I have to go in the kitchen and cook the Sunday feast and write my cookbook. You take up your identity that you left off when you went to sleep. So similarly, after being in the body of Mahavishnu for trillions of years, we again come out. We're placed into the appropriate body. And again, we take up this false identity. I'm a man, woman, cow, cat, dog, whatever, tree. These are all false identities. So we have to take it seriously that everything is coming from Krishna. Everything is pre-designed by Krishna. This so-called evolutionary, nonsense, it doesn't take place. It's not happening. Otherwise, like intelligent students quite often ask, why doesn't it keep going on? If human beings evolved from apes, why doesn't that process keep going on? Why don't we see every day a new manifestation of a human coming from an ape? No, it happened one time so many billions of years ago and then it's not going to happen again. Why? What's the process that's preventing it from happening? So we really have to challenge these. That's why Prabhupada created this Bhaktivedanta Institute, to challenge them. He said, even if you can't defeat them, make the public at least doubt them. Make them doubt that the Darwinian evolution took place, because it didn't. But if we don't challenge them, then people just remain either confused or they totally buy into it. So this earth planet is lamenting Krishna's departure, but as it stated in the purport, Krishna is here in the form of His holy name, in the form of all of His energies. Everything is Krishna's energy. And the energy is not different from the energetic source. It's just our vision that's covered by ignorance. That's why we don't see Krishna every time we see a tree or a cat or a dog or another human being. We don't think of Krishna because we're covered by ignorance, maya. Maya javanikachanam, this curtain of maya that Kunti speaks about in her prayers. Covering our vision. We don't see Krishna standing right before us. We don't see Him. We don't see Him. There's that story of the old lady in India we know in certain sections. Still to today, they need firewood for everything, for cooking, for heating. So every day, generally it's the women's duty. They go into the forest and they collect huge bundles of firewood and bring back to the village. So this old lady, getting on in years, she went with the other ladies and the system is a couple of ladies help one get it on her head. And then she takes off. So being old, she fell behind. And she was walking along. And she heard the roar of a lion. And she became startled and the bundle fell. What to do? She's old. She can't pick it up. So she's praying fervently. Oh, Govinda, please help me. Please. So Krishna responds. He came. He said, my dear mother, what can I do for you? What do you want? This is God, Krishna, standing in front of her. What did she say? Please help me get the bundle back on my head. So this is our situation in the material world. Even Krishna comes to us, we're so foolish and contaminated, we ask for wealth or health or whatever. We don't ask for his eternal service. So Krishna is still here. All we need to do is pray fervently, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And Krishna will be before us. Krishna is right before us. Prabhupada said right in this very temple, this deity will speak to you if you become qualified. He wants to speak to you, but you don't want. So as Prabhupada pointed out again in today's purport, we have to want, we have to desire Krishna to be here, and he will be here. So we can stop here. Any questions, comments? Yes, Bhakti Devan first.
So it thank you for the wonderful class. Hare so Krishna. It was saying that everything was like existing perfectly when Krishna was present on earth. So were all the demons encountered, were they the only demons on earth? Were they all just like pastime demons? Were there no like independent demons just...
There were both. Demons who were actually sent by Krishna, like Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, like those, they're pastime demons. But there are always also the little demons. But the perfection is that, again, everything is properly managed and the path back to home is opened by Krishna. That's the perfection. Doesn't mean that nobody ever stubbed their toe or, you know, not like that. See, we were thinking that perfection means nothing ever goes wrong that I don't want to go wrong. But we see, even Krishna's cowherd boyfriends and the cows, and they were attacked. Even by a demigod, Indra, what to speak of by demons. So that may seem like some kind of deficiency. How could it be? Krishna was there. How could they be attacked and put into any kind of difficulty if God himself is here? But that's part of the Leela, part of the pastimes. And perfection is, again, that the living entity cannot be cut by any weapon, cannot be burned by fire, withered by the wind, as Krishna says in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So in that sense, we're always perfectly existing. But due to ignorance and misidentifying the self with the body, we're thinking that, oh, I'm in trouble. And look at Prahlad. Even when there was direct attempt to kill him, he was not fazed. Just kept chanting, Hare Krishna. So this is what we need to do. We need to follow the path of self-realization, come to the point where even if there is trouble, even if there are demons, we're not fazed. He was not fazed by the most powerful demon ever because he was Krishna conscious. Yes, Apurva Prabhu.
You started off your class by mentioning the two main reasons why everything's really messed up now is because of mismanagement and sinful activity. And then you gave the example of the drilling of the oil in Oklahoma. On two points, I wanted to know two questions. So which category does that drilling take place? It's sinful activity or mismanagement, and what are the ramifications of this continual situation that's going on to eke out all the oil out of the ground?
That one is actually above both levels. It's sinful to take the what's the word I'm looking for? It's sinful in general. It's sinful to misuse the material energy in any way, shape, or form. It's just like food. Everybody has to eat. But Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita that if you eat just for your own satisfaction, you're eating only sin. Yeah. So, on any level, anything that you use without trying to satisfy Krishna, it's a sinful activity. And it's also mismanagement, because the managers are meant to lead the citizens into pious activity, pious life, ultimately into Krishna conscious life. So anything that the managers do that are against that, it's sinful and it's mismanagement. Now, in the case of the drilling, it goes without, you know, you don't have to be extremely intelligent. Prabhupada himself, he didn't mention Oklahoma, but he said, if you keep extracting this oil, because the whole economy now is running on oil, the planes and the trains and the buses and the trucks and the ships, everything is running on oil. So he said, but what will happen? What will happen? He gave the example of an airplane. He said, why is the airplane staying in the sky? And people, some devotees were trying to be very intelligent. Oh, the shape of the wings. And no, he said, Prabhupada said, the fuel. He said, if there's no fuel, the plane will crash. So it's the same thing with the earth. You keep extracting all this fuel from the earth, it's going to have some negative repercussions. But they keep doing it. They keep doing it. So. All right, anything else? Yes. Pardon me? Yeah. No, under the bow is the hoof print of the calf. It's probably that circle on top, the barlika. Yeah. Above the bow, yeah. All right, Granchar Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai.